Hello and welcome to another broadcast for Sittingbourne Baptist Church for September the 13th, which is a Sunday. And this broadcast is for children in Ignite. Well, I hope you're well and I hope you started school well and I hope that things are going okay for you. It must be difficult with bubbles in primary school, but that's just what we have to do at the moment. I know some schools have had children that have had to have their bubbles go home, but I hope that's not you. And even if it is you, you know, I hope you cope with the situation well, because we are all in God's hands at the moment. Nobody really knows what's going on or what the best thing to do is. But, you know, if you feel that it would help you to talk to anyone, please remember that the church, although it's closed, is still available to you and still accessible. And so am I. If you need to talk to me, you can ask your parents how you can do that, either by getting in touch with the church office on the church phone number, or sending a message to the church website, and the website that's specifically for the youth. So that I can know to find you and sort of have a chat if you need to have a chat. But before we go into today's two parables that we're going to be talking about, we'll play our little game. So I am thinking of something and I would like you to try and guess what it is using these five clues. It is something that you play with. And that's for 5 points. If you can think what it is now, that will be very good. Something that you play with. For 4 points, it comes in different sizes. For 3 points, it is used in many sports. And for 2 points, it is spherical in shape. Bit of a hard word that, spherical in shape. And for 1 point, it sometimes bounces. So I wonder whether you recognized what that was. If you guessed a ball, then you are correct. Well done. No points or prizes for that, but just for you to know whether you got it or not. Okay. So again, I'm using notes that I found on swapmeetdave.com, and we're looking at the seventh parable that is in this list, and it's found in Luke chapter 12. Verse 15 to verse 21 is the first one that we're going to look at. And in this bit, If we look at it from verse 13, it says that a man in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us." Jesus answered him, "Friend, who gave me the right to judge or to divide the property between you two?" And he went on to say to them all, "Watch out and guard yourself from any kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was once a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, "I don't have a place to keep all my crops. What can I do? This is what I will do," he told himself. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, 'Lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all those things you have kept for yourself?'" And Jesus concluded, "This is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight." Right, so this parable starts off with Jesus giving us a warning And he uses the word beware or watch out. Now, you don't really say watch out for, oh, there's a dog crossing the road. Okay, that's nothing amazing. That's nothing to watch out or to be careful or to beware of. You use that expression, watch out, when there is danger, when there should be a big red flag flying to show that there is something dangerous in line. And that is what Jesus is doing here. He wants us to be aware that there is great danger in one area of our lives. And this area is linked to the man coming and saying, my brother should divide up the property between us. So it shows that that man felt that the property and money and the things that he owns were very important. And he felt that his brother wasn't doing the fair or the right thing in the dividing of the things. So he wanted Jesus to be there as judge to say this person should have more property and that one should not. So when we look at the warning that Jesus is giving us, he's giving us a warning against greed, against wanting lots of property and lots of things for ourselves. And one of the things that he wants us to learn is that our lives are not made up of what we own. The things that we own are not the most important things about our lives. Sometimes we feel better off with things. We feel better off when we have things than when we don't have them. And we could sometimes even feel as if we are better people because we have things than those people that don't. For example, if your friend's family had one car and your family had two cars, you might feel that you are better off, that you are, you know, better people. But when Jesus tells us this story, he is really giving us that warning that that does not make you better people. And there's nothing wrong with having stuff. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There are lots of people in the Bible that were rich. Abraham is one of them. Jacob had lots of stuff. Solomon was rich beyond anyone's imagination. And Job. And these people were not just rich. They were very rich, the Bible says. So the rich man in the parable is not being criticized for being wealthy, but it's his attitude towards the wealth and the things that he has. From what he says himself, he says, my a lot. And, you know, he talks about, I will tear down my barns and I will store all the grain and all of my other goods. So he says that five times. And that just shows you that he is very absorbed and consumed by the life that he has. He spends a lot of time, it seems, thinking about the things that he has. Now, building bigger barns is not a problem. That was actually a wise thing to do, because if he didn't have enough storage space, then his crop could have got ruined or blown away by the wind. If it rained, it will get soaked up and it will not be of any use or any value. So building a bigger barn was a good idea. But the way that he thinks about it, it's as if he thinks by having all these things that will keep him safe. That's where he puts his appreciation in his belongings and not actually recognizing that the reason he has any of these things is they come from God. There's an expression where people say we should eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And the rich fool, as he's called in the Bible, he is ready to eat, he's ready to drink, he's ready to be merry and enjoy his life. But he forgot that he is not the one who determines how long his life is. That belongs to God. Because at any time, God can decide that somebody's time here on earth is over and they are going to die. And nothing in this world that we have can change that time, can change the day that we are going to die. Just like we don't choose the day that we are born, we don't choose the day that we die. And when we die, we take absolutely nothing that we have on earth with us. We don't take our friends or parents or other relatives. We don't take our shoes. We don't take our clothes. We go to meet God. We go up to heaven exactly as we came in, with nothing at all. So we need to be careful not to depend on the things that we own for our existence. We need to recognize that it's God who actually gives us the very breath that we breathe. The Bible then talks about Jesus saying that we should be rich towards God. Right, so how do we do that? How are we rich towards God instead of being rich with material things? One of the things that we can do is to take time to realize that God is in our life and that it is by his strength and power that we have anything that we have. If you have parents, if you have toys, if you have computers or phones or anything else, you have to realize that those things are things that God has given you. Even if he has used other people to get them to you, it's still a wise thing to do to know that God gave you everything that you have. And another thing that we can do to show that we are wise or rich towards God is by using our money and our talents to obey what he told us to do, the things that he said we should do. He said that we should help the poor and those that are less fortunate. And if we're willing to use our money and our talents to do that, it shows that we are not putting our trust for our life in those things, but we are ready and happy to give them away. Our full trust for our everyday life should be in God. We should trust God for everything that we need and thank him for everything that we have. Right, going to move on now to the 8th Proverbs, which is about being watchful. It's also found in Luke chapter 12, and this one is from verse 35 to 40. So in verse 35, it says, just opening to it, be ready for whatever comes, dressed for action and with your lamps lit, like servants who are waiting for their master to come back from a wedding feast. When he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him at once. How happy are those servants whose master finds them awake and ready when he returns. I tell you, he will take off his coat, have them sit down, and will wait on them. How happy they are if he finds them ready, even if he should come at midnight or even later. And you can be sure that if if the owner of the house knew when the thief would come, he would not let the thief break into his house. And you too must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him. Right, so this is another example that Jesus gave of a, it's a parable that uses very everyday things that people would understand. When servants were waiting for their master to come home at the end of the day, they had to have everything ready. The food had to be nice and warm, and they had to be water ready for the master to have a bath if he wanted it. And the lamps in the house had to be lit so that the master could see the house from far away and know that he's almost home. And it just had to be really good and welcoming. And the servants had to be dressed in their clothes, not in their pajamas. You know, they had to stay dressed and be alert and be ready, because you wouldn't know what time the master was going to come. So in this example here, the master's gone off to a wedding feast. So he's gone off to a party, and the servants have to be ready for whatever time he comes, in case he wants a hot drink or he wants a bath. Whatever the master wants, the servants have to be ready for it. And it talks about that, you know, there's no thought of anybody going to sleep because the master is not home yet. So all the servants have to be ready. So the lamps burning is showing us how awake you are and how prepared to serve the master, even if the master takes a long time and there are many dull hours of waiting. Even if you're tired, you still had to be ready to serve the master. And the Bible tells us that even if the master was going to come after midnight, you still had to be ready. Now, this is a simile of waiting for Jesus to come back to earth to take us all back to heaven with him. We have to be ready for this. We have to be prepared. Having our lamps burning is like having the love and the light of Jesus in our heart burning and being ready to light up the world when he does come. Being dressed means that you are doing the right things. You are wearing the right clothes, which could be some of the spiritual characteristics that we've spoken about. So you should be wearing patience. You should be wearing kindness. You should be wearing all the good things and the good qualities that the Holy Spirit tells us come from Jesus. What usually happened was that when the servants were ready to serve and to give the master a bath, you know, all those things, there was no microwave to warm up the food and there was no hot water in a tap. Those servants had to keep the water hot and they had to keep the food hot. So it took a lot of work. But these servants were not bored of this. When the master came, he would sit down and the servants would take his coat and his hat and put them aside, and then they would be ready. They would be dressed ready to serve the master and to wash his feet if he wanted his feet washed, and to do whatever the master needed before he went to bed. And then when he went to bed, then all the servants would go to bed. But in the story, we hear that Jesus said he would be the one who would serve the servants, and he would give them, he would get them to sit down and he would give them good food to eat. So this is telling us the reward of waiting and watching and doing the right things in this time before Jesus comes back. That during this time, if we're doing the right things, then when Jesus comes back, he will reward us and he will serve us and give us good things. And the time that we have been waiting will have been worth it. So when Jesus is saying, be watchful, this is not something that you just sit down and let it flow over you. Being watchful is an active thing, and it is not easy to do. You have to stay alert. You can't be weighed down by worrying about things in the world, about your life or riches or all those other things that we talked about in the last parable. You can't sit there sort of thinking about all those things and stop focusing on helping other people around you. As Christians, we have to show the love of Christ to the world. We can't be discouraged by how long it's taking, and we can't let all the worries of the world stop us from thinking about Jesus and how we can live a good life for him. Another thing we have to do is we also have to manage the resources that God gives us. God gives us a lot of things, and sometimes it takes problems and challenges to bring those things out of us. I mean, who would ever know they were patient if you never got a chance to prove that you were patient? So some of the characteristics that God gives us, it takes a lot of challenging things in our lives for them to come out. So we do have a job to do. We could be one of the people, if we were in the story, we could be one of the workers that maybe go around and encourage other workers to be ready and not to feel tired and not to fall asleep. And also we have a job to do in preparing ourselves so that we don't lose our focus, so that we don't start feeling tired or start complaining that Jesus is taking a long time. So with all this that we're doing, that is how we will get ourselves ready. One, by not focusing on the riches like the rich fool did in the first parable. And two, by encouraging other people that Jesus is coming and that it'll be worthwhile all the troubles and all the things that we have gone through in life. When he comes, it's going to be a great big party. And when he takes us to heaven, it'll be very, very worthwhile. So those are the two parables we're looking at today. I hope that they help you to be watchful and to be careful. Both of them sort of like have that theme in common, in that they both want us to be careful of how we're acting and what we are keeping as a treasure, or as what we think gives us power or the ability to live, that it's not the things that we own that does that, but it is God. So we must remember to recognize that and appreciate God and thank him for keeping us safe and keeping us alive. So let us pray. Heavenly Lord, I just thank you for all the people listening, and I thank you that you're keeping them safe and that your hand is watching over them even when they go to school with COVID-19 still being a problem. Lord, I thank you because it's by your grace that everybody is kept safe and that everybody is able to have the strength to do the things that they need to do. Help us to patiently wait for you when you're coming back. Help us to encourage others around us so that we will all enjoy heaven with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, well, I hope you enjoyed that. Do take care, and I'll speak to you again soon. Bye, and God bless you.